He's calling it Liberation Day. On Wednesday, US President Donald Trump will announce a fresh round of tariffs on goods entering the United States from Europe and elsewhere. The move is likely to have very serious implications for Ireland, which produces billions of euros of products and services for the US market. Medical and pharmaceutical products made in Ireland account for almost half of all our exports. We'll hear how the government plans to deal with the risks facing the economy shortly when we speak with the Enterprise Minister Peter Burke. But first, let's look now at what we know or think we know about what Donald Trump will do on Wednesday. And we're joined by Carol Lynch, tax partner in charge of Customs and International Trade Services at the consultants BDO. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for asking me.
What can we expect Donald Trump to announce on Wednesday?
Well, what we're expecting is a universal tariff on European exports into the US. It's looking like that's possibly going to be around 20% at the moment, and that'll apply to all European goods which are sent into the US, and it will be applied at the point of entry. So at the border, literally, you'll be paying an extra 20% on top of whatever customs duties you're paying at the moment.
So all goods entering the United States from abroad will be tariffed. US customers then would have to pay those increases. Are there likely to be exemptions?
He's made it quite clear that he's not in favour of exemptions, but you never really know until the last moment. What we do have is there's 15 countries identified, of which the EU is one, where the tariffs will be applied at different rates depending on whether the trade deficit is considered significant. And the proposal at the moment is a universal tariff. But I did go back to 2018 with the old Airbus dispute, and at that point there was specific tariffs also introduced on particular goods from particular countries. Now, that's not expected. It's expected to be a universal tariff, but we won't really know absolutely till Wednesday.
What about pharmaceuticals then? We make a lot of them here. Will they be included in that round of tariffs to be announced on Wednesday, or might there be extra tariffs on them either on Wednesday or at a later date?
Yeah, there's supposed to be two sets of tariffs coming in. So on Wednesday, it's the blanket rate. So any European exports into the US, which originate in Europe, will get, let's say, 20% customs duty added on. And then later on, he's also made it quite clear that there's sectoral tariffs being looked at, which will include pharmaceuticals, automotives we've already seen come into effect, IT products, aluminium we've seen come into effect. So they will be on top of the current. So let's say there's 20% on Wednesday, and then let's say there's another 20% on pharmaceuticals. That would then give you an extra 40% customs duties.
And that is a big concern here, because pharmaceuticals make up a huge percentage of our exports.
That's correct. So if we look at our exports of pharmaceuticals to the US, it's a significant, it's about $60 billion, I think, at the moment. So it's the US is one of our largest markets outside of Europe. And it's grown year on year. So year end 24, overall, I think we were up to about $72 billion in overall exports. But a significant number of those are in the pharmaceutical area.
And pharmaceuticals are things people need. They're not luxury items, not all of them anyway. We're talking about medicines here. So the sale of pharmaceuticals, they're not going to stop, are they? People in the United States will have to pay more for them.
Yeah, and that's the concern. So the aim here is to try and encourage pharmaceutical companies to manufacture from scratch in the US. But that takes a number of years to set up a new manufacturing plant in the pharmaceutical area. So if you're exporting pharmaceuticals, and that could be active ingredients, so they're not finished pharmaceuticals in tablet form or tablets, then either of those going into the US, attracting an extra customs duty. The question then is, how is that going to be absorbed in the US? Is it going to be absorbed by the companies, or is it going to result in increased cost to customers?
What about non-pharmaceutical products or services then, which are produced in Ireland? Which of those are likely to be affected?
Services, no, because customs duties are a tax on goods, physical goods only. So what we're looking at is what we physically export. And the next area of concern would be the food and drink area, which would be a huge export market for us in going to the US. Whiskey, we've heard about in recent days, potentially having a 200% tariff. That would be a massive impact. Food products being hit by an additional 20%, also very significant for the food industry. So I think that's really, if we look at our three top export areas, it's pharmaceuticals, food and alcohol, and then semiconductors.
Is there anything that Ireland can do to prepare for what's coming on Wednesday?
I think it's down to an individual company basis. Ireland will prepare as part of the EU, and that will be an EU retaliation. But on a business level, at an individual company level, what you need to do is look at what you're exporting right now to the US, do some risk analysis on what those additional costs would be, how would they impact on your market, check your contracts, who's acting as the importer into the US, who's taking that liability, okay, and then look at savings opportunities.
Okay, Carol, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's Carol Lynch, Head of Customs and International Trade Services at the consultants at BDO. Now we're joined in our studio by the Minister for Enterprise, Peter Burke. Minister, good afternoon, and thank you for coming to talk to us today. The economist Dan O'Brien said that April 2nd, which is Wednesday, is shaping up to be the worst day in Irish economic history since the bank guarantee and the bailout. Could he be right?
I don't think it's that stark. Obviously, there's a huge amount of uncertainty surrounding the 2nd of April. We don't know as of this point in time what the shape or form of the package will be. And even if we look at the executive order containing the tariff on the automotive industry, we still don't know if that covers parts, which is a very significant aspect of exports from an EU context for other countries where they will be exposed. So there's a huge amount of uncertainty. We do note during the week, last Wednesday, the President was very clear in saying that he would have a second suite of measures by sector a number of days following April 2nd. So again, we just don't know exactly what the scale we're facing on the 2nd.
What is the government doing then to prepare?
So we're doing a number of things. First of all, our tonnage to Simon Harris is having a number of bilateral engagements with his EU counterparts this week. He will be focusing on areas that are sensitive to the Irish economy. We have a number of ministers who are engaging on a European context as well. Minister Martin Hayden is also heading to the US to work on our spirits and agri sector, which is very important. And we're going to convene the government trade forum on Friday, again, in view of taking soundings from all the sectoral interests, because the following Monday, the tonnage will be going to Luxembourg, which will be a very significant meeting in framing what the response will be, because the list that was published back in 2018 is currently being reviewed and public consultation was embarked upon with all the relevant sectors. And critically, the next aspect we have to focus on is areas that are inside our control. I'll be meeting the government leaders on Monday evening, where we'll be going through a set of actions for our competitive action plan, because we really have to have a laser-like focus on all our competitive issues that really the Irish economy needs to sharpen up. And I'll also set out a paper of some quick wins that we can do as a government in the area of publishing and enacting private wires legislation, security clearance, EPA regulation, all those areas that we need to be more nimble as an economy to attract more investment.
Are you expecting pharmaceutical companies, if the level of tariffs that Carol Lynch was talking about there, potentially 40% on pharma, if those are announced on Wednesday, are you expecting that pharmaceutical companies will move their manufacturing facilities out of Ireland into the United States?
No, absolutely I'm not, because the farm industry has a very significant footprint in Ireland and it's much more than tax or a value proposition.
Why aren't you expecting that? Because we saw that the CEO of Pfizer said earlier this month that his company could shift its manufacturing to US plants in response to tariffs. He said, quote, "If something happens, we will try to migrate by transferring from manufacturing sites outside to manufacturing sites here," he said when he was speaking at a conference in Boston, as reported by John Burns in the Irish Independent. So there is a clear indication that big companies could move their manufacturing facilities, isn't there?
Well, notwithstanding what you said just in the last few moments, we still don't know if the intention of the President is to bring in tariffs on pharma on April 2nd, or if he does, subsequent to that, what they will be. But I would point out,
if you're saying you're not expecting pharma companies to move their
facilities... If you let me respond, Justin, I'll say it quite clearly.
I want to put the question to you. If you're saying you're not expecting them to move their facilities back to the United States, why aren't you expecting that if that's precisely what they're telling you they will do?
They're not telling me they will do, so I want to put that firmly on the record. So I think it's important that you shouldn't put words in my mouth. Secondly, in relation to the market, if you look in terms of the pharma footprint that we have here, about 96 billion euro worth of exports. A lot of those exports are going to Europe and the rest of the world, over 60% of them. Of the 40% that go over to the US, about 84% of those drugs are incomplete. So that poses a very significant challenge for the US administration, because what will happen is that if tariffs are harm pose. Critically, the medicines will become more expensive for the US citizen. And secondly, and this is an important part when we talk about our services sector, you will reduce the value of those companies. So innovation payments going back into the US economy, of which we have a 150 billion euro deficit with the US, will be challenged. And it will be a double-edged sword for the US administration. But critically, those US-based pharma companies are using Ireland to be regulated to a key marketplace outside of the US as well. It's important to point that out. But more importantly, they have the prize resource of the Irish people. We have a huge skill set here, and you can see that in terms of the R&D grants we have going through government and the additional investment that's coming in. And we're having more investment in the last number of weeks coming in from the US Cabinet.
Is it wishful thinking to think that those companies won't move their production to the United States when you hear the boss of Pfizer saying, if something happens, we'll try to migrate by transferring from manufacturing sites outside the US to manufacturing sites inside the US?
Yeah, but something happens can mean anything, because there's a number of uncertainties at the moment. We've uncertainties around tax, we've uncertainties around tariffs, but you are asking me a direct question in relation to a tariff. I'm responding in a way that I think is most reasonable, because there's a huge base, a huge customer base in Ireland, and they have a significant ecosystem built up, of which they are really getting the unique benefits of the talent of the Irish system and the agility that it has to offer. And that counts for a huge amount. And there's a lot of assets invested in that have to run their course in this jurisdiction as well. So where I would be worried about is more the medium to longer term effect. And that's where we have to be very careful as a government.
And what's your worry there?
My worry is obviously if this uncertainty continues, there will be a concern that decisions that will be taken that will impact 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road will not be taken. And that's where we need to be very strong in our competitive.
In other words, no growth and no expansion from those companies.
And that's how we can respond by being more agile as a government. And we have a number of areas that we're looking to expand on. We will launch our semiconductor strategy in the coming weeks, which will be very important, because we know that's a huge area that Ireland has a massive advantage in an EU context and as well on a global scale, and I think we could do a huge amount more in that area as well.
The EU says it will respond to President Trump's decisions with tariffs of its own. Will Ireland be lobbying the EU to ensure that countermeasures don't punish us, like our whiskey industry or our technology sector?
Absolutely, and that's an area that Minister Harris takes very seriously, our Taoiseach. He's had a number of engagements with Maroš Šefčovič. He has written to him in the last number of days, setting out areas which are very important from an Irish context. But these are important in a multilateral context, because we always have to be aware that through the World Trade Organization back in 1994, an agreement was taken on medicines, on pharma, for very good reason, because we don't want to stifle innovation in an area which is so important for the global population. And that's the critical point that we are looking towards the US, is to talk first and try and see, can we negotiate? I think it was a very good idea that the EU didn't proceed with its response immediately. It's taken time. It's going to look and assess the impact of what the US administration comes out with on April 2nd, and also have a clever, well-crafted but calm response to ensure that, number one, we are standing up for our European interests, which is very important, but secondly, that we're protecting the Irish economy, because that's important for all the livelihoods that we represent in the country.
The Sunday Times reports today that key pledges in the programme for government around welfare rises and tax cuts, that those are at risk due to these tariffs, if those tariffs go ahead. Can you confirm that?
Well, first of all, again, I know it's very interesting when people try to dial up the extent of the issue. We still do not know the challenge we're facing. The challenge could be great, it could be extraordinary,
and yet it may not be.
Well, the programme for government sets out...
If there is an economic shock, the government couldn't proceed then with increasing welfare rates, could it? Because you'll have many more demands on the exchequer.
No one knows what the future will hold, but Justin, the programme for government was very clear, and it sets out that if there are significant shocks to the Irish economy, that everything can be in jeopardy. We do know that, and that's only a fact. We have to live on the means of a sustainable economy. Minister Donoghue and the Taoiseach were very clear before the election regarding the threat to, you know, de-globalisation. That's the way we framed the budget and the challenges we have in relation to it. But we are not at that point yet, and I want to be very clear on that. We are an economy that is in surplus, that has two sovereign wealth funds of over 16 billion euro. We have 2.8 million people employed in this country. Inflation has abated to 1.7%. We're growing at 3% under modified domestic demand. We are in a position of strength as we go forward. And that's the way we want to continue. But government really allows for that.
Do people need to manage their expectations? If there is an economic shock, they're not going to be getting the welfare rises.
there isn't an economic shock, and we will cross that bridge when we come to it. But what we can say to people very honestly is that we are preparing as best we can. And we as a government, and particularly my party in Fine Gael, has demonstrated in the past from COVID, Brexit, huge challenges in inflation, okay, how we always crafted the economic response correctly. And we see the results in that. What inflation was nearly 10% midway through 2022. Now it's abated. We see how we managed the economy to grow and diversify through Brexit. And we will meet this challenge and we will get over this challenge and we will come out stronger for it.
All of this is happening on Wednesday when that announcement will be made. But the business of the Dáil, of the government and the opposition has been dominated over the last number of days by a row over speaking time for Michael Lowry and his group. And we have a motion of no confidence in the Ceann Comhairle being tabled on Tuesday. Can Verona Murphy continue in her job if she doesn't have the support of almost half the Dáil?
Absolutely she can. I think she will have a significant majority on Tuesday when that vote is taken. Anyone who witnessed the scenes in the Dáil last week will see how unprecedented it was. And they are not my words. They are the independent clerk of the Dáil contained in his report. It was extraordinarily difficult for not only the Ceann Comhairle, but also the staff of the Dáil to put up with the scenes that we saw last week. And I want to be very clear. You're asking me here this afternoon about can we withstand additional tax cuts? Can we raise the hopes, the aspirations of the Irish people in terms of spending more over the next number of years? And we have an opposition that's talking about 8 minutes additional per week in the Dáil, of which they are losing no time. I think we really need to get very serious on behalf of the Irish people here. We have a Dáil to get on with the work of the Irish people to respond to potentially what could be an unprecedented challenge. And we need to just get on with our work and not to be really having this faux outrage where you have people standing up, roaring, trying to stop the constitutional business of the Dáil, which is so important at this particular juncture.
We'll put that to the Social Democrats spokesperson, Sinead Gibney, in the programme. A final question. Fine Gael is at its lowest level of support ever in a Business Post poll, 17%. Is your party leader, Simon Harris, spending too much time travelling and not enough time looking after business at home?
One of the huge challenges we face in a country, in our country, is a threat to our open economy. And it is so important that the Taoiseach, as Minister for Trade, does embark upon international travel because he is protecting our livelihoods by doing that.
Even at the expense of support for your party.
One thing about Fine Gael is we always put the country first. We will continue doing that. And as we have seen through Brexit, through the global pandemic, through the various different shocks, we will put the country first. And the Taoiseach is doing exceptional work. And you can see the results of that work in terms of the US and the EU interlocutors, which is going to be key in the relationships he has built up in the weeks ahead.
Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, thank you for speaking with us today. After the break, industrial action at the health service is suspended after 25 hours of talks. We'll bring you the details of what was agreed. Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1. Back to politics now, and a significant week ahead for this country as Donald Trump plans to announce a new round of tariffs targeting the European Union and potentially Ireland's pharmaceutical manufacturing sector. Before that, politicians in the Dáil will vote on a motion of no confidence in the Ceann Comhairle, Verona Murphy. Let's talk now to Social Democrat spokesperson on enterprise and trade, Sinead Gibney. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Winston.
Let's deal with the speaking time row in the Dáil first. We have major economic storm clouds gathering on the horizon now with the prospect of an economic shock coming on Wednesday. The opposition, including your own party, have been convulsed with the row over speaking time in the Dáil for a few independent TDs in the last few days. People will be watching all of this and they'll be wondering, have you got your priorities right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's firstly just so important to remind everybody that this is an argument and a row completely of the government's making in their efforts to appease Michael Lowry and his group. And also to assure the public and voters that, of course, we are continuing to do the important work that we do as an opposition. And, you know, in fairness, the government is continuing to do its work as well. So although this is getting a lot of media coverage, it is very present in people's minds. It is only a feature of what we're actually spending our time on at the moment. And I believe that it is a fundamental democratic principle that we must defend.
OK, but there's a vote of no confidence in the Ceann Comhairle coming up on Tuesday. and the opposition will lose that vote because the government has the numbers to win it. So what happens then? Does business just go back to normal?
I mean, absolutely. We can see the numbers as well as anybody else, and we know that that's going to happen on Tuesday. So we will all be taking our time to assess how we progress over the coming days. But we are keen, as everybody else is, to get the committees in place and to start the very important work of committees, because obviously, although we are continuing to do what we can, much of government business and the business of the Dáil cannot proceed without that.
Will there be any further protest from the opposition then after that vote?
I can't rule anything in or out at the moment. I think, however, it's clear to me that the government is going to continue to support the Ceann Comhairle. I would urge her, because obviously this is completely unprecedented. The only time that a vote of confidence has been even threatened to a Ceann Comhairle, that Ceann Comhairle, John O'Donoghue of Fianna Fáil, chose to step down because he knew that just even having that suggestion put forward really undermined his role. So I think Verona Murphy needs to really think about her position if she doesn't have the confidence of nearly 50% of the Dáil, because she is supposed to represent all of us.
And she's that thought about it. She's thought about it, and she said she's no intention of resigning. So there's nothing more you can do about it, is there?
No, I don't. I mean, really, in reality, absolutely, we see the numbers as well as everybody else, and we know that that is going to go through, and we will continue to put our shoulders to the wheel and do the important work that we do in opposition with the reduced amount of time and capacity that we now have to both sit on committees and represent our voters and our constituents, and most crucially, the reduced amount of time that we have to hold the government to account in the Dáil. And of course, your speaker from the government said that this is 8 minutes, but we all know this is not 8 minutes. There is a drastic reshifting. My inbox this week, for example, is now coming in with rejigs on the way that the different motions are going to be played out next week, different slots for priority questions for ministers over the coming months to facilitate this new group of other members, which is just such a farce. So this is going to impact on our ability to do our jobs, but we will, of course, proceed to do that.
Okay. Can we talk about tariffs and what we can expect to come on Wednesday? If the announcement from Donald Trump does turn out to be a big economic shock for Ireland, it will have implications for government spending. What do you believe should be protected, or what should be reined in if the threat of job losses and reduced tax revenues is on the horizon for this country?
Well, I think, I mean, I would agree actually with Minister Burke in terms of just we all need to keep our cool heads at the moment, both at domestic level and EU level, and really see how this set of tariffs plays out. He's such a volatile character, and we've seen that he's been shifting in terms of how he's dealt with the same pattern with Mexico and Canada. So we just have to hold our heads and be clear. And I think really importantly at EU level, we need to make sure that the EU doesn't drag in additional sectors which will negatively impact Ireland.
Do you think there should be no response from the EU then?
No, I don't believe there should be no response. Absolutely, we have to show our might as a trading bloc and absolutely stand up to bullies. But I think what I'm trying to say is that we need to do it in a measured way and in a way that says that doesn't produce any unintended consequences or drag in additional sectors that we don't need to. Like, essentially, that's what we saw with knee-jerk kind of suggestions on the bourbon tax and what that would mean then for Irish whiskey exports. That's the kind of thing I would encourage us to.
Every single countermeasure the EU tables is going to affect somebody in the EU.
Exactly. And Ireland has to hold its position in representing Irish interests in that context. And I think that's in some ways a difficult thing for Ireland to do, because, of course, every other EU member state is looking at Ireland and our policies on tax and how they have played out over the last number of years. And with the level of resentment that we have taken advantage of lower corporate tax rates. I mean, some other EU member states would describe us as a tax haven, for example. So I do think it's not easy to then go in and say, well, think about us. I mean, the Brexit situation was very different, where the EU obviously stood behind Ireland very strongly and said, we will protect you and we will work together. But now we have a panoply of interests from all EU member states, all of the different sectors that their trade with the US means. So I think it's a very different situation we're in, and one that's much more difficult.
If welfare increases have to be suspended because there's pressure on the public finances, would your party support that?
We were very clear in our election manifesto that we need to protect the tax base here in Ireland. And I think it's really disingenuous that we then saw three of the three big parties all suggesting that we should reduce the tax, introduce tax cuts and so on. And we warned that, of course, this would be rolled back on in the case that we saw.
And you would support that, would you, if that has to be done?
We would be looking at this in the context of making sure that public services, quality public services are provided to people that those who are most marginalised in Irish society and most at risk of poverty are the ones who are supported. So I think it has to be taken, of course, in the broader welfare and tax situation that we would support, which is a social democratic one.
Sinead Gibney, Social Democrat spokesperson on Enterprise and Trade, thank you for coming in to talk to us today.